recording.
Oh, fuck.
Well, cut that out. As we cut that out. We're good.
Cut that out. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. It's going to be so funny to edit. It's a little soft, creepy whisper.
Hi.
We said some secret things. Nothing exciting.
About you
nothing
guys.
About you guys. Just stuff that we don't want, like, the world hearing. And then we didn't realize we were recording.
Yeah.
And that was really funny.
Lucky it's not live.
Imagine. But why would I be doing that live? Well, now I've given away that I was telling the secret thing. So yeah. That was a bit chaotic. But that's fine.
Mm.
You don't know what it was.
We've moved on.
And you know what we've moved on to is the finale in two parts.
Yes.
Did you love that?
Sounded like Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. It was very chipper.
Yeah.
It was chipper. I'm very uncomfortable.
Well, you can't be comfortable. You're fucking 100 years pregnant right now.
I'm so uncomfortable.
As anyone who's been to the live shows, Sydney, Melbourne.
Yes, which you would have heard because we've put them up.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, we're finally recording way in advance.
Yes.
Kind of. So
after not doing an episode for like 3 weeks.
I reckon there would have been people that weren't in the group. And also didn't go to live shows who were like, did they just like die?
Are you guys
did
okay?
A murderer finally get them? Probably.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we forget that not every single person listening is in the group.
I know. And we love you even if you're not in the group.
Yeah,
because
we
some
do.
People hate Facebook and that's fine.
That's so fine.
I fucking hate Facebook. If I didn't work.
I don't know if I'd be in the group, to be honest.
If I didn't work online, I would not have Facebook. I would just go off the grid. You know, my dream is to have a commune where I'm off the grid.
Yeah,
but then I get
scared of you being off the grid because I worry you'll get murdered and you won't be able to tell me.
Josie worried a lot on my trip.
I did.
It was lovely.
I worry a lot in general.
But we're doing a two-parter.
And as Mel pointed out earlier, it's not to be confused with when Case filed as a multi-part episode and it means that it's been researched in depth, like exhaustingly researched. We haven't done that.
There's so much chaotic energy in this. Firstly, we started researching yesterday.
Yep.
And I remember at one point Josie showed me and she had like two lines written and just said like Ned Kelly, which it's about Ned Kelly,
it's
guys.
It's about Ned Kelly.
It just said Ned Kelly and then it said like in 18 something and then that was the end.
And that had been like hours. Fuck.
Oh my
God. We have to fit this in with our actual jobs.
We did. But also it was just hilarious because
it's the last week of work.
Like doing a two-parter as well was probably a terrible decision because – you know, Josie's done part one up to a point and I've done part two from that point, which I'm not going to tell you anything about because I want it to be surprised, blah, blah, blah. But we have not cross-referenced each other. We've not shown each other what we've done. Like we just know that we started and ended where we'd start and end at a certain date. But like at one point Josie said, have you mentioned redacted? And I was like, no. And I was like, that doesn't come up. And she's like, oh, because I said, Mel will reference this
more
later.
On that later, like a little foreshadowing, but it probably just will foreshadow nothing.
Yeah, like a sort of an anti-climax where everyone's waiting for it to happen. It just never happens.
Never happens.
But hey, that's what you come here for. That's why you love us.
It's not fucking Case File.
We're not fucking Case File.
We should put that on a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
We've been so busy. For the people not in the group, we've been busy with live shows. We've been busy. Well, Mel's been busy with the merch. She did all the merch.
Josie and I ran a sweatshop for a few
days. We did. We were packing bags, but you did all the ordering and the organizing and
yeah. But the packing
with the designing
together, we did that.
Then we packed. It's been hectic.
It has. The packing, we loved it. So
it was fun.
We missed that.
Although we may have done several orders incorrectly.
Yes.
Which we got an email about.
And awkwardly don't have the product to swap it over with. We're going to figure it out.
We'll figure
Person
it out.
Who has that situation, you know who you are. We're very sorry. But, you know, we'll open the shop back up in the new year for a bit. So if you missed out on merch, you can get it.
And if you got merch,
it should be with you.
Wear it, put it on Instagram, tag us, and we'll repost all your pictures.
And on Facebook,
if you want us to.
We'll even do it from Twitter, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes I go on there, okay? So then I'll check.
Mel will do it on
sometimes
Twitter.
Sometimes I check for Josie and I.
Mel will do it if you do it on Twitter.
And if you got the wrong t-shirt, in an ideal world, you just love the t-shirt that you got.
And you're like.
And you're like, you know what? They fucked it up on me, but.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. Now I'm just wearing this one. But if you really hate it.
Now I'm a size 6 girl wearing a 2XL men's black shirt.
Maybe you're a man who knit a 3XL and you got a small women's yaoi. I just think you should wear that.
I nearly remember I was packing that bag for that a guy.
Yeah.
And I nearly gave him a women's medium and it would have been like a midriff top.
And we had a really good laugh imagining this like delightful little hairy belly buttons.
Yeah, he just kind of worked it anyway. He was like, oh, well, yeah, I'll wear it. Midriff top.
That's what we'd love you to do. But obviously we are honourable people.
Yes.
We sent you the wrong thing. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out a way. We'll refund you some money so you can send it back to us.
Yep.
And then we'll give you the right thing. It just might not be till the new year because we're actually out of everything. And you know what? We're about 2 hours off the end of our day and then we're on holidays. So.
And we were supposed to start recording this two-part episode an hour ago.
And here we are. Waiting around, talking shit.
So maybe we should start.
Let's start. I'm so excited for this. Go.
Okay. Ned Kelly, part one.
Woo.
What was
that little punch in the air? It was like a little.
My computer just locked itself because I've been crappy on for too long. It literally said Ned Kelly, part one, and the screen went dark. Fuck. Okay. Okay. I'm back. So I'm doing boring origin story.
No.
You know I love boring origin stories. I love this.
Also, Josie picked the origin story because she loves it so much. And it's not boring because I know little bits about it. And that this is how he became to be.
Yes.
You can't do Ned Kelly without talking about
his
origin.
It's why he is the way he is, as all superhero
which is
stories
hot and sexy
begin. So can I just clarify, is Charlie Hunnam playing his dad in the movie?
I don't know.
Because I'm about to start talking about his dad. I'm Googling Charlie Hunnam.
Wouldn't he be playing him?
Kelly gang. No, he's not.
He might be playing one of the other guys. As a thingy here, I am deeply obsessed with Ned Kelly and I'm a massive apologist.
I'm interested.
Like
no, I'm interested in the story.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like as a person, I love him and Josie is much more of a realist in the way that she looks at him, whereas I'm like, everything is perfect about him. He's hot and sexy and he's my historical
I
boyfriend.
I definitely think he's hot and sexy. Okay. Charlie Hunnam's playing a police officer. So
what? That's horrible.
Because the police officers suck, as always, in this story.
The entire story could be covered as police are shit. The end.
Fuck the police.
Fuck the police. But I'm sorry, this is your part.
Okay.
Mel, I'm shutting up.
Okay, so we're in Tipperary? No.
I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's in Ireland.
Ireland.
Why did I put on an accent?
Ireland.
1841.
Yeah.
A 21-year-old man named John Kelly, and this is confusing because he was known by his mates as Red Kelly.
That's confusing.
Not to be confused with Ned. Red. He stole two pigs and he copped a sentence of 7 years transportation. Now we know what that means, everyone. That means they went, let's take him to one of our many colonies in the world.
Yeah.
And for Red Kelly, it was Van Diemen's Land, which was Tassie until 1856.
Yes.
I think Van Diemen's Land is a badass name and I think they need to go back to it.
It's sad.
Sorry, Abel Tasman.
Oh, fuck Abel Tasman. Van Diemen is cooler.
But that is so sick.
Van Diemen has a cooler last name. I'm sorry, but like
it's a cool name.
If it was between Masonania or Rosenania.
Yeah.
These are both terrible names. I'd go Rosenania. It's a cooler name. Masonania is shit and I would concede even if I found it first.
Yeah. Van Diemen's Land. Petition to rename it.
Absolute kissy fingers on that one.
Let's ask Scott Morrison if we can rename it. Now that he's back from Hawaii.
Anyway.
So he served 6 years and he received his certificate of freedom in 1848. He decided to take up gold digging. I've said actual gold digging, not marrying a rich person, which is what that is today. He's actually gold digging.
Amazing.
Because, you know, why the hell not? You make a lot of money if you find gold.
Yeah.
And he did. He found enough to buy some land, a little plot of land in a place called Beveridge, north of Melbourne. And at age 30, he married, I think she was related to his employer in some way, an 18-year-old named Ellen Quinn in 1850. That a bunch of kids ate all up. But we only care about the third child.
Obviously.
Edward Kelly, named after Red's brother. Who soon went by the name Ned.
Yeah.
So his birth date isn't 100% known, but historians believe it's around December 1854. The house he was born in and lived in for the first 9 years of his life still stands.
I saw this as I was researching. Yeah. It's wild. I need to go.
So there's heaps of places that they lived, and it's like there's a chimney left, or like one wall, but the whole fucking hut is there, which is very cool. So that's in Beveridge. Then the family moved to another town called Avenel. Avenel?
Avenel? Let's just go Avenel.
I don't know. I'm hot. Even though the cops had their eye on the family because they were like a bit dodgy. Because the dad was like an ex-convict and they were like just a bit sus. But young Edward Kelly became known as a local hero after saving another kid from drowning when he was just 11 years old.
Aww.
Bless him. So the family of the kid awarded him with a green sash for his efforts. More on that later. So Red Kelly, not to be confused with Ned, got arrested again and served more time. And then after that release, he like turned to the drink.
Oh, yeah.
He started to drink really heavily, became ill, and he ended up passing away in 1866 when Ned was, what, 10, 12? I don't know. I can't do maths. But he was like 46 years old, if my calculations are correct. So according to Wikipedia, which I didn't do any credits.
Oh, yeah, because we just use Wikipedia.
It was mostly Wikipedia. I think I've credited it throughout. Yes. I've got the links.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, the way his dad had been treated by the local police apparently affected young Ned Kelly profoundly. So a few years after Red died, the Kelly family moved again to some untitled, uncultivated land. So I looked that up. And I couldn't really find out what that meant. But I'm guessing it means it doesn't belong to anyone officially.
Yeah.
So you kind of be there. But there were also other people there already.
Oh.
Graziers.
I was going to say it seemed like settler sort of vibes of like, now you can have this weird land that no one owns.
So I'm taking this. But then there were some other people. So it got a bit territorial and like didn't really help the family's general reputation because they just kind of encroached on this land that some other blokes were already grazing.
Yeah, like literally squatting. Like squatters. Squatters. Which they probably were.
You're basically squatting. So it was in 11 Mile Creek near Greta. Greta. In Victoria, which is a small town around 15 kilometres from Glen Rowan, another small town.
Which will come up later.
These are all small towns in Victoria, everyone. Coincidentally, our colleague had to drive to Wangaratta the other day for like life admin purposes. And it's our dream to like do the Ned Kelly trail.
Josie and I have a really grand sort of pipe dream plan.
Yeah.
Where she has mini Zesty because it's imminently coming.
It is.
And then
my God, it's probably going to be here by the time this podcast is live.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And we're going to take mini Zesty.
Yes.
And we're going to strap him into the car in a nice little...
No car seat, just strapped.
Just strapped
the car.
In anywhere. And then we're going to go on a little Ned Kelly tour.
Yes.
Which we'll document for you guys.
Yes, obviously.
Maybe we should take Julian and he can be our videographer.
Yeah, it's a good
idea. And then he can like baby Bjorn it and just deal with that.
Yep.
Anyway, that's for another one. We're like,
let's work out the logistics now.
While we're live. Just work them out mid-recording. Anyway, the point being that will hopefully happen
in
the
new
year sometime.
But our colleague did it. Like kind of against his will because he had to do some life admin.
Yes.
And the irony was funny because I was looking at the map.
And you're like, this is
and
what
I
want to
like,
do.
Hang on. That's exactly where Cam drove. So, when they were here, there was all kinds of drama with these other graziers. They were already working the land. And the local police were kind of up in the Kelly family's grill a lot while they were here. So Ned may have been a local hero at 11, but by 14, he was already hanging out with some dodgy people. So I kept writing 1969 instead of 1869. Sounds like he's a time traveler.
Bring it into like hippie land.
In 1869, he befriended a bloke named Harry Power, who I like looked at his birth date and the year and I was like, dude, you're like 50. Why are you making friends with a 14-year-old boy?
That's creepy.
But like apparently it was fine. I think it was the days before like, you know, people knew about dodgy older men that like hanging out with young boys. So his mum was just like, okay, that's fine. You hang out with Harry Power, the ex-convict.
Yeah, that seems like a great idea.
So he was a convict. Instead of serving his time, he'd actually escaped. Great guy that you want around your kids. So he'd actually escaped from prison and he was lurking around the Glenrowan area.
It's not like he's like, I'm fine, I'm an ex-convict. Yeah. Not actually.
At least the dad had served his time.
Yeah, this guy's just lurking around.
Fucked off. So he was being a bush ranger, which is basically making a living by robbing people.
Hot.
Who were travelling around by horse and cart.
A little wagon. What is it? A little wagon with little things in it? I don't know what it is.
What episode was that from?
So that's referencing something that someone sent us or posted that was a slowed down version of, I think maybe the Gatton murders, maybe.
Mm.
And we'd said something like, I think we're talking about a wagon.
Mm.
And then slowed down Josie's going, a little wagon.
We sound so drunk.
Yeah.
Little wagon.
Anyway, now it's become an ongoing joke.
Now it's an ongoing joke. So whenever we say wagon, we have to say it like that.
It has to happen.
So at this time, according to Wikipedia, witnesses said Harry Power had a young accomplice who would help him when he was robbing people by calming down the horses while Harry did the, like, give me all your money.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to do.
That's sweet.
See?
You love,
apologist to Leanne, mate. Ned. Can't do anything wrong in my eyes.
Yeah, it was obviously Ned Kelly. Yeah. The two briefly parted ways after they got shot at by a bloke who they were trying to steal horses from.
Oh, good.
And during that time, Ned managed to get into trouble all on his own.
Oh.
So his first actual arrest came when he robbed a Chinese pig and fowl dealer named Ah Fook, which I have to admit I laughed at briefly because it sounds like a rude word. According to – I have to keep saying Fook, and I'm trying not to laugh.
Okay.
According to Fook's court statement, he was passing through Greta when he got held up. He testified that the prisoner – so whenever he said the prisoner, he meant Ned, who was in the courtroom – said, I'm a bush ranger. Give me your money. If not, I will beat you to death. This kid's 14.
Oh, my God.
Mind you.
Ned.
According to Fook, Ned took out his purse, Fook's purse, and all his actual shillings. You know how I love to sing about shillings. He took his shillings and then started beating him with a stick. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Oh, my God, Ned.
It's not funny. Fook got away. He reached a town called Benalla, and alerted the police, including a chap named Sergeant James Whelan, who he kind of had it in for the Kellys.
Yes.
So he was like, oh, love this story
because
I hate these people and this gives me an excuse to go after them.
Yes.
I'm editorializing, but I believe that's what his motivations were. So he knew exactly where to find the Kellys. Fook took them to the exact location it happened. Ned was there because Ned had said, come to my hut. Like, I'm going to rob you, but come to my hut. It was not very smart.
It's really weird.
So they found Ned there. They arrested him. But Ned's version of events was different.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed that Ah Fook had actually started the biffo when he had a go at Ned's sister Annie because he was travelling. He asked for water.
Yeah.
And she gave him creek water, not rainwater. Like, please. Oh. Beggars can't be choosers. I know. You're literally asking for water.
Seriously, calm down.
And then he, like, had a go at her. Ned said he came to her defence and then Fook beat him with a stick. And he retaliated.
Ah, okay.
So that was his version of what happened.
I wholeheartedly believe.
And then Annie, his sister, testified that this was true. It's his sister, of course, she's going to. And so did two other family friends of the Kellys.
Oh, my God, guys, come on. That's pretty obvious.
Whereas Fook had no one to back up his story. So the case was dismissed.
Oh, no. And they're probably racist dicks as
well.
Yes,
exactly.
Like, you're Chinese, so we don't
believe
you.
Yeah, like he actually had an interpreter in court, like, he's very new to the country, so I feel like he had no chance. Ned Kelly had spent 2 weeks in police custody, though, when all of that was said and done. So after he was released, he made a great life choice by rejoining his mate, Harry Power.
Wow, Ned, you're so smart. This is a great
genius,
way to go.
Genius.
You've just been fucked by the courts and, like, you're like, you know what I'm going to do? Go do more crimes.
Turn my life around by doing more crimes.
Yes.
Turning it around to the wrong, the wrong
just
way.
Just turning even further this way.
To the dark side. So this was March 1870. The pair of them proceeded to commit armed robberies for a month as the police desperately tried to track down Power, and they knew who he was. But they didn't know who the youthful accomplice was.
Yes.
The local papers eventually outed it as being Ned.
Yeah.
And he was arrested. But the three witnesses brought forward to testify had said, he's got a young accomplice. Two of them couldn't positively identify him. And the other witness wasn't able to either, but the police didn't even let them take the stand to say that. So could sense that their case was crumbling before
they're
them.
Just like, we're too embarrassed. Don't even get up there. Just don't.
And apparently there's some conjecture about this amongst Ned Kelly buffs, because you know they're out there and they're hopefully not listening to this botched episode that we do, because they know everything about Ned Kelly and we've done a day of research. So some of them think this is evidence of police harassment. Other people think it might mean the Kelly family were intimidating witnesses and telling them not to, you know, rat on Ned. And then apparently some witnesses thought the young boy that they saw was part Indigenous.
Okay.
And then historians believe this might be because Ned walked around unwashed with dirt on his face. So he was doing kind of like accidental blackface almost. So they were
amazing.
That's not him.
Yeah.
He's Irish and very pale.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's definitely not going to be potentially Indigenous because he's definitely very Irish.
But exactly, but he just like didn't wash at this time. So Ned kept getting into these scrapes with the law and getting away with it.
Yeah.
In another incident, his friend Ben Gould was accused of stealing a horse. There's a lot of horse stealing.
There's so much,
in mine too. Horse stealing.
Just like the horses in that area would have just been like owner to owner. Yeah, they would have been like, who do I let ride me?
Which because I don't bearded even know, man do I belong to?
Who's my owner?
That's all they were doing. So this bloke named Jeremiah McCormack, a local guy, accused Ben Gould of stealing his horse. So Ben wrote a nasty note to the wife of Jeremiah McCormack and then wrapped the note around a pair of testicles that belonged to a calf.
Oh, my God, amazing.
A baby cow.
I'm sorry, that's amazing.
It is.
Because they would have just castrated it for farm reasons. I'm not saying it's amazing.
No.
Like, it would have been for farming purposes.
And he's just found
cruelty.
Them.
Yeah. And he's just found them and been like, fuck yeah, I'm going to fuck this guy.
This will be funny.
That's like the equivalent of putting dog shit in a bag on someone's doorstep.
100%.
Love that.
So Ned delivered the note and the balls.
Amazing.
And then when McCormack confronted him angrily later, Ned apparently punched him in the face.
He's a fiery man. What can I say?
And he copped 3 months hard labor.
Oh.
So that was the first time he actually got convicted of something.
Yeah.
But he was let out over a month early for good behavior.
See?
Good person.
Good person.
We love Ned. So when he came back to the town of Greta, he met a man named Isaiah Wright, who was riding quite a spectacular looking horse. I'm thinking it was hot in the Farlap way of being hot, but it was a lady horse.
Yeah. Like
so
a hot
like
lady horse.
Hot lady Farlap.
Sexy lady Farlap.
Sexy horse. She's got like her mane is like flipped
perfect
over.
Perfect and shiny.
She's so shiny. But a few days later, she went missing. And Wright left town. And then a friend of Ned's lent him his horse and said, I'll look for your horse while you're gone. And they found it. Ned decided to take it to Wangaratta for a few days. And then on his way back, he was intercepted by a cop who rightly suspected that someone dodgy like Ned probably didn't own such a magnificent specimen of a horse.
Not the worst sort of insight there.
I think that was pretty smart.
Yeah.
So he directed him to the police station. When Ned got off the horse, the policeman tried to grab him by the scruff of the neck. Ned resisted, and then the cop tried to shoot him 3 times.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure you can't just these days shoot someone for no particular reason. But the gun misfired. Ned then overpowered him, and then it gets a bit sexy here for me. Straddled him with his spurs dug into the policeman's thighs.
Oh, I'm into that.
I love men's thighs.
Loving this sort of homoerotic energy here.
Just like spurs in thighs.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah, then he beat the shit out of him
apparently. Not so sexy. We've gone a different route. I'm not into this.
He was all bloodied. Oh, it took 7 men to get Ned off the policeman.
Whoa. So he went into like some sort of like adrenaline rush.
Yes.
Like superpower.
Yeah.
That shit that
with
people get.
Spurs out. It's
Ned,
still
he's
sexy.
Such a hothead. He's still hot.
It's still sexy. Still,
the spurs, if we forget about the pulverized face, it's still hot.
It's still a sexy
Just
image.
Pretend we didn't hear that.
We didn't. I didn't say it.
And then they
what
start
are you talking about?
Kissing passion. Oh, stop it.
Now it's call me by your name.
I know.
Too.
It's so sexy.
Remember Armie Hammer's thighs in that movie in those shorts that he was wearing?
Oh, my God.
I can't even cope. I'm not even an Armie Hammer gal.
I'm an Armie Hammer gal when it's Call Me By Your Name, let me tell you. Anyway.
When it's tiny, like 80 shorts. Where am I? Physically, where am I right now?
With this real horny energy. I'm in Italy.
I'm lying on the grass with Armie Hammer.
I'm making out with him.
Timothée Chalamet. I'm
ejaculating into a peach. Anyway, what?
Wow.
What did I say? Nothing.
Nothing. We are talking about the seven men.
We are. And the Spurs and the thighs. Top. Anyway, we're going to move on from the thigh spurs. I'm really fixated on them though.
Me too. It's such a hot image.
I have a really good mental image of it.
I was like, Wikipedia, why are you playing me like this? You know I love thighs.
Why are you pawning me right now?
Anyway, he ended up getting charged for stealing the horse because, get this, it turned out it didn't even belong to Isaiah Wright in the first place.
Off. Okay, I'm sorry. If it doesn't belong to Isaiah Wright, we cannot be charging anyone with anything.
It was double stealing. Isaiah had stolen it.
So Isaiah can fuck off.
Then Ned had stolen it from him. Ned copped a 3-year prison sentence for this.
That's bullshit.
It's excessive, right?
What is this? I feel like the courts just make shit up in this time. I know. They're like, 3 months hard labor for this one, but, you know, 3 years
three
in jail.
Years for that. And, like, people would steal a loaf of bread and get shipped to Australia.
Yeah. That was obviously corrupt.
Insane. But he was released 6 months early, again for good behavior.
An angel.
An angelic prisoner.
Angelic, sexy prisoner. How old is he? Wait, is he legally hot yet?
I think he is because it's 1874, so he would have been 20.
Okay, beautiful. Now I can call him sexy.
I've written here, importantly, it appears that 1874 was the first time he was photographed with the iconic beard.
Mm.
So he must have grown that in prison.
I mean, even that, like, so you're 20 years old and you can grow that sexual beard.
Julian's 34, 35. It would take him 35 years to grow that beard.
Yeah.
If he started now, he'd have it at age 70. Okay, so I could have done deep research here. I didn't. So there's basically just a 3-year gap where nothing happens.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Ned Kelly buffs.
No one cares.
What he was doing.
No, it's not part of the story, so we don't give a shit.
But you know what? I think we can deduce that he was up to no good.
I also feel that cheeky. I would like to throw in a vibe of care of the Ned Kelly movie with Heath Ledger.
Oh,
great film.
Yes.
Everyone watch it. Mm-hmm. That he's going off and having a torrid affair with a hot woman because there's distinct lack of
there's no sex
in this story.
There's no sex at all.
Unless we want to start going down our Call Me By Your Name homoerotic route and decide that the Kelly gang itself were maybe some of them were in love and fucking. But
which I like.
I would very much be on that. It's just that there's literally not one scrap of evidence that that's happening.
There's nothing. And as you'll see, they're very respectful to women throughout this whole story.
Yes.
And I do kind of want a bit of a zesty rolling around in the
I want some fucking
dirt.
Some consensual fucking.
Yeah. Just like with a local gal.
Yeah.
Okay, so for 3 years he was fucking a local gal.
Yes. Yes, let's make up history. They're all dead. They can't tell us what to do.
No one can tell us anything except Ned Kelly buffs that aren't listening to this anyway. So the next story I could find about him doing anything is my favorite story ever. I actually sent it to our colleague Maddie today because I started laughing at it and he was like, what's funny?
Yeah.
Because I got here at 7:30 to research this episode. I sent it to him and then he laughed. So I'm like, this is legit. In September 1877 in Benalla, 23-year-old Ned, he's drunk driving, which in 1877 means drunkenly riding a horse. And he did it over a footpath, which you're not allowed to do, apparently. So he got chucked in, like, the drunk tank overnight. And the next day, Wikipedia just said, well, being escorted, but didn't say where.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wikipedia didn't tell me where. I wasn't going to look into it any further.
We didn't have time for that shit.
There's no time.
This is top line Ned Kelly research,
okay? It's literally
my
last day of work for a year.
Guys, give her a fucking break.
There were four policemen escorting him, but he still managed to get away. He ran off and he hid in a shoemaker's shop.
Yep.
The shop owner and the police attempted to handcuff him, but he struggled. And in the kerfuffle, his pants got completely ripped off.
Why is this story so sexual? It's like his pants just blew off his body.
Well, then they go, like in the full Monty, where they've got the buttons. Yeah,
because I was like, how would your pants get like ripped off in the struggle for your handcuffs? Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
What were these men actually trying to do? So an Irish-born cop named Constable Thomas Lonergan took advantage of this situation by grabbing Ned's balls and squeezing them as hard as he could in an effort to subdue him.
I know who Lonergan is. Yeah. We don't like him.
So during this, another bloke walked in, like just a local guy off the street, walked in and took one look at the situation and said, quote, "You should be ashamed of yourselves."
Oh, why did this turn into like porny Ned Kelly?
Gay japes in the shoemaker's shop.
Just,
like, ooh.
Just having a little torrid gay affair.
There go my pants. Yeah. I'm going to grab your balls.
My pants just flew off. I don't know why it's turned into a porn scene.
The Kelly blew off my body. Kelly bang. That's the
Kelly
porn,
bang.
The porn version
Holy
of this.
Holy shit. We should trademark
that. You need to
that.
Make it. Army Hammer. I'm
recruiting you. Listening and feel like a pawn going into the porn industry briefly just for us.
I'm
going
to need your thighs for this.
It cannot be anyone but Army Hammer.
Just, you know how he's like tan and the hair on his thighs kind of blonde?
But in that case, you would need it's Army like Hammer glistening. To be the dude that got his face pulverized.
He's the policeman. He can be this policeman as well.
He can be
he
multiple.
He can just play every policeman. You know, for brevity reasons.
Yeah.
They could just make him the policeman that constantly shows up.
He is symbolic of the general police force.
I've just Googled that Charlie Hunnam is a policeman.
Yeah.
Maybe he is the policeman.
Maybe he's going to get the spurs. With the
thighs. Oh my God, we just screamed so loudly we went into the red.
I just also love that Josie's like sober as a fucking log right now.
I'm screeching about
thighs. She's just so zesty.
It's not me. It's the story. It lends itself to zest.
So they're having a bit of a
homoerotic moment.
Grabbed him, subdued him via testicles. Mm-hmm.
By the way, that is genius. As much as I hate that again, it's pretty clever.
Like, go for the nuts. Mm-hmm. So Ned was eventually handcuffed and charged and fined for being a drunk. And he apparently said, "Well, Lonergan, I never shot a man yet, but if ever I do so, help me God, you'll be first." But more on that later. So the shit really hit the fan the following year.
Yes.
1878. Mm-hmm. There was a warrant out at the time for Ned's younger brother, Dan Kelly's arrest. For stealing a horse.
What else do these people do?
I'm shocked. It's like how like in Gone in 60 Seconds, it's cars.
Yeah.
If that was set in this time, it would be gone in how long?
Gone in an hour and 15 minutes.
How long it takes to un-fucking hook a horse.
Just trot away.
And be like, shh, calming it down.
The horse doesn't want to go. So you're like, fuck, no matter how many times I dig my heels into your side, you're just doing a slow walk.
Gone in an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah, so there was a policeman named, they're all constables.
Yeah, they are.
Alexander Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He decided, oh, I'll just go to the Kelly house. I know where they live. I'll just go and do it. There's probably more to the story. I've simplified it. Arrested. Oh. So
what? Do what?
Even though.
Look in the window.
There was a rule about always taking another constable with you if you're going to their house. I'm guessing because they were so fucking dodgy over there.
Yeah.
I think I didn't include this, but in the interim, Ellen Kelly, the mom, had remarried. There were other kids.
Yes.
There were. The sisters had married men, so they're very brothers-in-law. There's
a
lot
Irish energy
happening. I'm feeling like there were 20 people in
Irish
this house.
Irish reproductive energy
just
there, yeah.
A kid every 9 months.
Yeah.
So Dan wasn't home, and the cop just stayed there shooting the breeze with the mum and some of the other siblings. I think there was a neighbour there. Dan finally showed up but asked if he could eat his dinner first.
I love that.
Before Fitzpatrick took him to the station. So according to Fitzpatrick, he agreed and stood guard over Dan. But then Ned Kelly suddenly rushed in and shot at him, wounding him in the wrist. Like he shot him in the wrist.
Oh, his fiery soul was getting him in trouble.
It's all family. Family first.
I know.
The other family members, including Ellen, the mum, I love this vibe, overpowered him and beat him. Apparently Ellen hit him over the head with a coal shovel.
Yes, Ellen.
He had a helmet on, but he still got knocked out. When he regained consciousness, he says that Ned demanded he remove the bullet from his arm to remove any link to Ned. And then he was forced to promise that he wouldn't tell on them. And then he was allowed to ride away. reaching the police station where he proceeded to tell everyone
what happened. Yep.
So Ned and Dan Kelly went on the run, and then Ellen, the mum, and the neighbour, Bricky Williamson.
Great name.
And Ned's brother-in-law, Bill Skillion, were all arrested and they were all in on the beating, apparently.
Yeah.
So they're all arrested and charged with attempted murder. They're eventually convicted and served prison time. The two men copped 6 years and Ellen got 3.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. And she had a little baby. She just had a baby.
And all you did was beat someone.
All you did was beat up a cop.
God. It's not like you killed someone.
You can't beat up a cop. Who can you beat up?
What can you do? If I'm not allowed to beat up the cops, what am I allowed to do in this world? Oh, political correctness.
Just try to live our lives on our land that we've encroached on.
Live freely in this world. All I want to do is go around beating up coppers.
And fucking stealing things.
Stealing horses.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Beating up poor Chinese pig dealers.
For no reason.
So Ned told a version of events a few months later, which of course was different. He said he wasn't even there at the time, and that Ellen told him that Fitzpatrick had come in brandishing the gun, threatening the family. Dan overpowered him, asked him to leave, asking him to leave unharmed. But then I'm like, why did Dan and Ned then run off?
Yes, and also why has Fitzpatrick got like a bullet wound in his arm?
But then other accounts claim Fitzpatrick was drunk at the time and made a pass at Kate Kelly, Ned's sister. And as an aside, later in an unrelated matter, Fitzpatrick was booted off the force for being a drunk.
Oh, okay.
So I'll let you do with that info.
I smell a rat what you will. In this room.
So Dan and Ned Kelly were in hiding. They heard about the pretty heavy sentences that were handed down to the neighbours and the friends. So they decided to go on the run. They were joined by their friends Steve Hart and Joe Byrne, thus forming the first version of the notorious Kelly gang.
Fuck yeah.
So at the time, Ned was 24, Dan was 17, Steve was 18, and Joe Byrne was 21, according to an old-timey article I found.
I love that.
In the Adelaide Advertiser. Thank you, Adelaide Advertiser. So the police were hot on their tails and somehow figured out they were somewhere in the Wombat Ranges, which I don't know where that is.
But you want to go there because doesn't it love sound the Wombat.
Cute? It sounds so cute.
It does.
I just picture them all doing zoomies everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, two separate groups of police were sent out. There were 9 in total, including Ned Kelly's old testicle-grabbing pal, Constable Thomas Lonigan.
What a surprise.
So this was 25th of October, 1878. The police, one group set up camp at Stringy Bark Creek.
Yeah.
And in a genius move, shot at some parrots to cook for dinner, which gave away their location.
Also, a parrot for dinner.
Well, they thought they were kangaroos.
Oh, okay.
And then they were parrots, so they shot at them. And they shot the parrot.
Delicious stringy parrot.
Yuck. Also cute, don't shoot parrots.
I mean, you got to eat something. I'm not really, I don't, you know what I'm like with meat.
I eat lamb.
I'm just like, you got to fucking eat, man.
I'm all about eating the roos, but the parrots, they're just there.
Oh, it's food to me. I mean, it's sad. I wouldn't want it to die for no reason, but like, you got to fucking eat. It's just going to be very feathery to me.
Yeah, it's not enough
meat there for it to be delicious. But anyway.
The shots gave away their location. At 5 p.m., the Kelly gang suddenly appeared with guns ablazing.
What a fucking surprise.
Saying, bail up, hold up your arms.
Hot.
So only 2 cops were there out of the 4 because 2 of them had gone off to find food that wasn't parrots. There was Constable McIntyre who stood where he was with his hands up while our friend Lonigan ran to take cover behind a tree, reaching for his revolver in the process. So Ned Kelly, fulfilling his promise after the nut-grabbing incident, shot him in the temple.
I mean, I'm not even sad.
According to Wikipedia, as he fell, Lonigan said, "Oh Christ, I am shot."
God, what? Bitch, you're dying. Yeah. So.
Also, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. It's like you're in the temple, like amazing to even talk at this point.
And then he died.
Oh, my God, amazing. I mean, so cool.
Amazing. I love that.
Just amazing that he said him. That. Love that for him. Love to die in the bush.
Apparently, at this point, Ned Kelly said, "What a pity. What made the fool run?"
Oh, I mean, I don't know, Ned. I feel like you had it out for him.
What
to kill him.
A badass.
Can I tell you a really quick story that I've been I've been to the literal spot where he shot Lonergan.
Really?
So when you go, when we go.
Were there wombats?
With baby Zesty. No, there were no wombats. Mm. It's like there's a walk in the string. No, shush. There's a walk in Stringy Bark Creek.
Yeah.
And like they've mapped out the spot that they, like, I mean, like, as much as they can. But it's not that old that they actually do have a bit like they can kind of predict it. And it's like wild because you stand there and there's a little sign and you can read about it. And it's like literally looking at like this little opening.
Is there
opening.
A log there?
Well, there's a little opening. I can't remember if there was a log, but it's a little opening. So it like very looks like somewhere where you'd camp. We're going to go there.
We're
going to
go.
But anyway, continue.
The reason I asked about the logs was so that they interrogated McIntyre for a bit. He swore they're only looking for the Kelly gang to arrest them, not to kill them,
what?
Even though they had heaps of guns.
Oh, my God.
They're like, they're for kangaroos.
Yeah, right.
The gang then heard the other policemen approaching, so they hid behind a big log.
Okay.
When Constable – no, then McIntyre was like, oi, there's like the Kelly gang there. the Kelly gang jumped up. Constable Scanlon tried to run. He was shot and killed. And then Constable Kennedy begged for his life. At some point, McIntyre freaked out and escaped on a horse, which was shot at by the gang. Eventually, he had to leave. People don't know if it was just exhausted, the horse, or if it had been wounded. But he left the horse. He walked on foot. He hid in a wombat burrow overnight. I'm like, cute. Did he cuddle up with a big wombo?
It won't bite you at all.
No, it wouldn't like rip your fucking
love
face
it.
Off.
It would love the company.
It would just cuddle you.
It would.
And look after you. He eventually walked 30 kilometres.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
That's fucked.
To a farmhouse in nearby Mansfield. He alerted police as to what had happened and they travelled to the site of the camp. They found the bodies of Lonergan, Scanlon and eventually Kennedy a few hundred metres away. The bodies had multiple gunshots even though they were killed like by one.
Okay.
Then they ended up having like a lot.
So they'd like shot them after death.
Yes, this Argus reporter, old-timey article that I found, said that was so that all of the Kelly gang would be equally implicated. Oh. So it wouldn't just be Ned going down.
It would be
it's like
everyone.
Oh, you can't tell who shot him because we all shot him.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Like we go down together kind of thing.
This kind of seems a bit selfish of Ned, but sure.
I think Ned, you're the one that had it
like,
in for him
Ned,
after
you
he squeezed
first.
Your balls.
Yeah. Like but I didn't hate Lonergan that much.
I don't think we know who killed Scanlon. Mm. Just said he was killed. So after this whole thing went down, the Kelly gang officially became outlaws, which is so cool. This is so cool.
So cool.
To murder three police
officers. I'm so attracted to boys who murder three people and then become outlaws. Hot.
There was a £500 reward out for their capture. So I tried to do my research. I've got a little converter tool that I use. But it's actually too old. It was too early.
Oh, yeah. I didn't do any of
for
that.
My inflation calculator. So I don't know, but I'm guessing it was a fuckload of money.
A fuckload of money.
There was also a deadline of November 12th, 1878. There was also a deadline on November 12th, 1878 for their voluntary surrender. But obviously they didn't do that.
I'm sorry. They're definitely going to get hanged if they voluntarily
surrender. Because they're badasses. Yeah. So they're not going to do that.
Yeah, no way. They're fucking bushrangers now, bitch. You don't fucking surrender.
You don't surrender. You never surrender. You fight until the end.
You fight till the end.
The Giants theme song. I went there.
There you go.
So they were on the lam for about a month and then on December 9, 1878, they resurfaced again. So this is the last part of my part.
Okay.
This is the last little story that I have to tell you.
Love it.
And
it's been
it.
A great time, I have
Has
to
it?
Say. I've learned things I didn't know.
Oh, great.
You've spun a great yarn.
I didn't know any of this, so I'm really learning. So the gang appeared at a cattle station called Young Husband Station near Faithfuls Creek, just outside of a town called Euroa. Mm-hmm. The gang assured the people there they just wanted food for the horses and themselves. Apparently they were very polite, despite brandishing a lot of guns. And our friends at Wikipedia are always quick to point out that they never interfered with the women, in quotes.
No, they didn't.
I've written here, we stan feminist outlaws who don't rape women.
If you're going to be an outlaw, just murder men.
Yeah,
don't rape women.
Don't interfere with women.
Just murder police. Don't rape women. It's fine.
That's not fine.
Killing people, totally fine with us. Don't rape
just
the
steal
women.
Horses.
Yeah.
Later in the night, a bloke named James Gloucester returned to the station and tried to pull a gun on Ned Kelly, who in return threatened to shoot him. Gloucester was like, "Who do you think you are?" And Ned replied with, "I am Ned Kelly,
yeah,
the son of Red Kelly, and a better man never stood in two shoes."
Oof.
Excuse
me. You're so hot, Ned. You're so sexy.
I fan myself. I'm literally sweating.
Oh, you're so sexy with your spurred boot.
Gloucester surrendered. Like, what could he say to that? He was like, "Oh my God, obviously, you're so hot." And he just went and joined his fellow hostages in a storeroom. The Kelly gang then took a bunch of nice clothes from Gloucester to make themselves look presentable mm-hmm. for the next phase of their plan.
Love.
They actually tried to offer him money for the clothes, but he refused it. So the next day, December 10, three of the well-dressed outlaws, Byrne stayed to watch the hostages, headed into town to the bank. So they had a check. The manager of the cattle station, Mr. McCauley, had given them a check, and like, he knew the bank guy. So they're like, "They'll let us into the bank if we've got this McCauley check." And the bank had just closed, but Ned forced the manager to reopen and cash his check. And then he pulled a revolver on him and said, "Give me £700 in notes, gold and silver," and then open the safe. And then the outlaws took £1,500 in paper.
I guess like paper
bills.
Paper
money. £300 in gold dust and nearly £100 worth of silver.
Gold dust.
Gold dust. And £100
worth of silver.
Fuck, imagine
if you like accidentally dropped like, the gold dust. Oh, oof,
or you coughed. You coughed as I was giving it to you. Wikipedia's again careful to point out how polite the gang was to the bank teller's wife, Mrs.
Yes,
Scott.
They love the women.
They're very polite
and
to
women.
And the
women love them.
Yes, in the 3 years gap that we have,
we don't know.
All they did was love them.
Lots of women loving.
And the bank clerk liked them so much, mm-hmm. he invited them to drink whiskey with him after they robbed him.
This comes up again. They fucking love them.
They love them. So they did. And then the bank people joined the outlaws who took them to the cattle station to become hostages.
Yeah.
It's just like Stockholm syndrome before that was a thing.
Like immediate like, as well. Like no.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go and sit in a storeroom with some other people. I'm guessing it's the revolvers that they had.
Look, I think Luda was kind of probably like, "We don't really have a choice here and you're not
why
being
not?
Assholes to us and like shoving them in our backs.
Yeah.
So why not?"
So Mr. McCauley, the station manager, recalled the events for the Argus, and I've sent this to you because I loved it. The first paragraph of the article says, "Mr. W. McCauley, who's living at Nanila near Rochester, is able, despite his age of 77 years, to recount some of his exciting experiences of the sticking up by the Kelly gang."
Recounting that time that a gun was shoved in my face.
Sticking up. Exciting experience.
So exciting.
But anyway, in the article, he describes that they had quite the pleasant evening after all the hostages were brought together. He says that he remarked to Ned Kelly that the police might show up, to which Ned replied, "I wish they would, for there is plenty of cover here." So I think it's pretty clear by now that he's a real fuck the police type of guy.
Yes, he very much is.
They all had dinner just before they left. Ned spotted a fancy watch that one of the hostages named Mr. McDougall was wearing, and he asked to have it. I'm sure he asked very politely. But Mr. McDougall said it was a gift from his dead mother.
Aww.
So Kelly said that he wouldn't take it under any consideration. And then the four outlaws left.
What a sweetheart.
And so that's the end of my
tale. What a
tale.
Sweetheart. I think we can all see what a sweetheart Ned Kelly is.
I know. Because for a while there I was like, I'm waiting for him to be cool.
Where's the bit where Mel
He's
thinks.
Just beating up poor Chinese pig dealer.
Yeah, look, that wasn't great. But he was young.
He was only 14 then.
You're
We've
an
all
idiot.
Done stupid things when we're 14.
Fucking idiots.
We've all 14. Beat up pig farmers at 14.
I did so many
I
beatings.
Just brandished a stick constantly when I was 14.
I just walked around beating up pig farmers
stealing
all the time.
Stealing shillings.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what you heard about me. I'm not going to do it. Part one done.
Loved it.
Come stay
back
tuned
next week
for the shit to really hit the fan in part two of Ned Kelly.
And the Kelly gang.
That's it.
Bye.
Bye.